This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. In a renowned book called Custer Died for Your Sins, An Indian Manifesto, the historian Vine Deloria Jr. included an essay titled Indian Humor. In that essay, Deloria, who was a Standing Rock Sioux, talks about the so-called Indian jokes canon and wrote, quote, "One of the best ways to understand a people is to know what makes them laugh. In humor, life is redefined and accepted. Irony and satire provide much keener insights into a group's collective psyche and values than years of research do." On August 30th, the Ross Raglan Theater in Klamath Falls will offer insights into Native American culture and humor when they present Native Comedy All-Stars with three stand-up comics, Von Eagleber, Gilbert Brown, and my guest today, California resident Mark Yaffe. I'll let him introduce himself with this clip from his act.
It's embarrassingly big baby at birth. I weighed 11 pounds, 5 ounces. Worst part was 11-pound head, 5-ounce body. I was a globe on a Q-tip. But my mom had an easy delivery because I'm adopted. Yes, Navajo, adopted by a Mexican mother and a Jewish father. I'm a bargain hunter-gatherer.
So, Mark, welcome to The Creative Way.
Vanessa, thank you for having me. And hello, Southern Oregon, Northern California, everyone out in your radio audience. Good to be on the show.
So let's start with the fact that you were 25 when you learned about your Native American heritage. How did that affect you?
Well, everyone always said, oh, you must be Native. You look, little dark-skinned kid and my features. I said they suspected, but I wasn't surprised, but I was pretty excited. And it was kind of a melancholy. I don't know if that's the right word, because my birth mother, who was a teen mother, gave me up for adoption. Her and my birth father's family, she tried to reach out to them, and they were not interested in sharing any information because of his, criminal activities and time incarceration, things like that. So it was kind of a bittersweet thing, but it was pretty fulfilling to know that and to connect with the Native culture and have this journey.
Did you embark on this whole learning journey?
Well, I would say embark was probably not the right term. I'm not that organized or focused, unfortunately, but I did start asking questions and I got to go down to the Navajo Reservation where my relatives are from and meet a lot of Natives, especially when it all melded together when comedy happened, was what I would say that transpired. And I met Von Eagleber, who was one of our other comedians on the show in Spokane, and we just hit it off at Von's Colville, Lakota. And, we started talking like, oh, we should do a Native comedy tour. And I've always been a little bit of the fish out of water since I wasn't raised in the tradition, but geez, 23 years later on the road doing reservations and casinos and tribal events, you learn a lot by osmosis, and you certainly learn a lot by just the humor on the ground in Indian country, because it's true what Vine Deloria said. It's just, you learn a lot about the culture from the way the humor is presented and shared, and the ability to laugh through hard times and difficulties.
And you weren't just a latecomer to your own heritage. You were sort of a latecomer to comedy. I think I read that you attended a workshop in your late 30s. Were you about 38 when you went to this workshop in Sacramento? What drew you to that?
Basically, what happened was, the short version is, I was a DMV driving examiner in California. I used to give driving tests to new drivers, and I opened a driving school. I wanted to get out of the government work, and I started teaching defensive driver classes, and people, you're really funny. They like my sense of humor. So I went to try to hire some comedians to teach some more of my classes as a way to, increase the student base, and end up taking this course and ended up getting on stage that night and just took off from there. I'd always thought about doing comedy, but I didn't really think it would morph into this, 25 years later, doing this full time for not the full 25 years, but for the last 20 years.
Right. So let's hear another clip, and this one will talk about your experiences teaching people to drive.
I would have qualified for an emotional support animal. Personally, I would have, because I spent 7.5 years in a state psychiatric facility, the Department of Motor Vehicles. I used to be a DMV driving examiner. I was the guy that gave you your test when you turned 16. Yeah. And a lot of you are still traumatized from that one time you took the driving test when you turned 16, 17. Try doing that 10 times a day for 7.5 years. I know I'm PTSD DMV.
So what's your process for coming up with jokes? You're sort of an observational style.
I am. I'm not a storyteller, that's for sure. I just think I was raised in that kind of that one-liner premise setup, you know, punchline. I try to pretty much just listen just when I'm out in public and just kind of spend some quiet time with my thoughts to try to let things percolate, especially after I've done like a week at a comedy club or a casino. Usually stuff will just start popping up, but I wouldn't say I have a, you know, I'm not like the Jerry Seinfeld method where you're sitting down writing 5 hours a day, although that would probably be nice, you know, if I did spend some more time, but I think it's a little more organic. I do try to write something every day, you know, just if it's freehand, you know, just freestyle with whatever comes out on the page, but it's pretty much, I just try to be a little bit of a sponge and let it come to me because I know what's out there. Yeah.
And looking at the big picture, comedy is a great way, you know, writing about our experiences during the day. It's a great way to sort of process your own experiences. But just to zoom out a little bit, how do you see the role of comedy, maybe in general, and also native comedy in particular? What's that role in society today?
Well, in general, I think it's comedy's been a good overall, it's been a positive. You know, we have some controversy over certain comics and topics and trends in comedy that have sparked a lot of friction. But overall, I think comedy has been a great unifier. That's why I love doing stand-up, especially when it's a native theme show and non-native show up. It's to see people, they think, you know, there's still that stereotypes that persist of the stoic natives. And they think people like Indians don't have a sense of humor and they're serious. And man, I haven't met collectively as a group. I've been around a lot of different ethnicities and cultures in my life. I've been fortunate to travel and stuff. And, you know, I think this natives is their ability to just have fun and not take, you know, take things seriously, but at the same time, you know, put a lighter perspective on these things to kind of get through it. So I think that, you know, I look at comedy as unifying. Some people say it's divisive and depends on the comic, but my goal is to, you know, get everyone to see at the end of the day, man, we all have that need to laugh. We all have that need to connect as human beings, no matter what our background is and our cultures. And I think laughter, I can't think of a better way to do it, at least for me personally.
Wonderful. A reminder that you're listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney, talking with Native American comedian, writer, actor, and podcast host, Mark Yaffe. Why don't you tell us about your podcast?
Well, beyond it right now, my podcast, I've been on a little bit of a hiatus. It was called How Does That Happen? I've been interviewing these unusual record holders. I interviewed Sammy Obaid, who is a stand-up comic who did 1,003 consecutive nights of comedy in a row. And just people that will pursue like this just unusual avenues and what their process is. I've always enjoyed that. Right now, a friend of mine and I, she's a ship comedian, June. She goes by Just June is her stage name. We're working on a podcast about Alzheimer's and dementia because we both have parents that are dealing with that. And again, trying to put, people might say, well, that doesn't sound right. We want to put a little bit of a comedic look at what's going to such a serious subject and how you do, again, where pain, you know, leads to comedy and how you get through, you know, such a debilitating disease for a loved one. And how you have to try to find some humor in it when you can and share your, you know, adversity that you're going through and hopefully help other people process that.
Here's another clip from comedian Mark Yaffe.
I'll tell you some tough people. We just worked in Duluth, Minnesota. I was there for New Year's Eve, minus 34 degrees. I'm from California. I get hypothermia in the shade. What's wrong with those people? I can never live anywhere. It's warmer inside my freezer than it is outside of my house. My same agent, Captain Weather Channel, books me in Phoenix, Arizona for July 4th week. Yeah. My rental car came with oven gloves. What is their state bird, a roast turkey?
So, speaking of weather, your upcoming show this month at the Ross Ragland Theater is in Klamath Falls. And like a lot of Oregon, they've been having very smoky weather. Do you have any jokes prepped on wildfire smoke?
You know what? I need to work on something. I just did a show in Chinook Winds. I drove up from Reno to Lincoln City. And, you know, just you do that diagonal cut across the state. And I needed a respirator and night goggles to get through some of that smoke. It was rough, but I know you guys are going through it this summer. Yeah, hopefully we get a little clear weather when I get there. I don't want to drive by the theater.
So speaking of touring, you got into comedy late, but since you started, you've performed in 43 states and 11 countries. What are some standout experiences you've had on the road?
Wow. Well, I think, I don't know if this is probably not an official record, but I think I'm the only comic that's got air, land, and sea credits. I perform, you know, land, like you said, 43 states, 11 countries. I do cruise lines, Holland America, Carnival. And then I did a show at 30,000 feet for some Alaska Airlines passengers. We were, Gilbert Brown and I was on the show. We were going to Alaska and we were able to promote our show on the flight. He went up there and asked if we could mention it. And then they said, well, tell your friend to come up and tell some jokes. I think some people thought the pilot had been drinking when they listened to some of my material.
That's fun. What's the best response you've ever gotten?
The best, or but I'd say but there's probably maybe the best versus most gratifying. I'd say probably the best response to me was I got to do an Armed Forces Entertainment tour in Iraq on the back of a flatbed out in the middle of the at Anbar province in the desert for some Marines at a forward operating base. Mm-hmm. So all they had was, like, you know, the big truck spotlights and some little small speakers. And then when I was up there, I shaved my hair off for the Marines there. They'd had some difficulties there. So, oh, yeah, we'll try to boost some morale. And that was a surreal experience. So I think that was probably the most memorable moment I had in comedy, for sure.
Oh, that does sound memorable. And when you perform in Oregon, in Klamath Falls on August 30th, you're going to be performing with two other comics, Von Eaglebear and Gilbert Brown. So what can we expect from that show? I gather you've performed together.
Yeah, we're all friends. We've done a number of shows together. Von and I have toured together probably since 2004 on and off, pretty consistently. We had a tour of Powwow Comedy Jam for a number of years. We did a Showtime special called Going Native together with some other indigenous comics. And then I met Gilbert at a comedy club in Portland. That was 20 years ago, and we've done shows ever since. So it's fun just getting together, the camaraderie of working with your friends. A lot of times you're just sent to a comedy club or go to a cruise ship. You don't know who you're going to work with. It's just kind of comedy roulette. So here we were able to, thanks to Jimmy Turner, Retro Records, shout out to Jimmy. I spoke with Curtis at Ross Ragland and helped put the show together and let us pick our lineup. So Vaughn, super funny one-liners. I don't know if you're familiar with the people might be familiar with Stephen Wright, the comedian Stephen Wright, or Mitch Hedberg, some older style comics. Very funny guy. Gilbert, more of a storyteller, big personality. So I like that. And also from Chiloquin originally. So I think he's enrolled MODOK on there. So he's got a lot of family and friends down there, which is going to be fun for him. But I like it because it's three different, very distinct styles. But we got that, you know, the same undercurrent of, hey, let's have some fun. Let's do a little bit of a native perspective on comedy and maybe something people don't get to see every day, you know, especially in a comedy club setting or theater setting.
Well, it's a funny trio for sure. Tell us how we can get tickets.
Well, folks can go in person to Retro Room Records in Klamath Falls and buy their tickets there or online at ragland.org.
Terrific. Thanks for joining me today, Mark Yaffe. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much, Vanessa.
You've been listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm your host, Vanessa Finney, and my guest was comedian Mark Yaffe. Mark is one of three stars in the upcoming Native Comedy All-Stars show on August 30th at 7 p.m. at the Ross Ragland Theater in Klamath Falls, along with Von Eaglebear and Gilbert Brown. You can hear more episodes of The Creative Way on jeffexchange.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it for today's exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. Andrew Crackle is engineering our show today. Our theme music is composed by Maxwell and Terry Longshore. Thanks for joining us and have a great day.